I really love that story of the Messiah. How are the children? Like many of you, I watched the rescue of the 12 boys and their soccer coach imprisoned in that cave in Thailand with a mixture of anxiety, awe, amazement. The boys, if you don't know the story, they ranged from 12 to 17, and they'd climbed down this network of tunnels with their 25-year-old coach after practice, after soccer practice. And they'd found themselves trapped all of a sudden because this heavy rain began. It began flooding the cave. And in an effort to find safety, find higher ground, they actually had to push deeper into the cave, into the darkness as the water levels rose. And they eventually found safety 4 kilometers into the cave, into this mountain. The parents began reporting them missing that night, and their bikes were found right away at the mouth of the cave, so they knew that they were somewhere in this cave network. But it took another week before 2 British divers were actually able to locate the boys and their coach, because all of the tunnels were flooded. And there are some people who are made for this type of work. I am not one of them. Just the thought of swimming through these flooded passageways that are so tight that the divers actually had to remove their tanks just to squeeze through sometimes, and the water was so muddy, there was zero visibility. It just sort of gives me shivers is a little too light of a word. I think it hits on some of real primal fears being trapped. And when a former Thai Navy SEAL, Saman Kunin, died from asphyxiation while trying to reload oxygen canisters in the underground staging locations, I felt more than sadness. I felt fear. I felt fear that what these people are going through. 3 other divers went missing for 23 hours, having been swept away in currents that were so strong they pulled the masks right off their faces. When they finally emerged from the darkness of the cave, they were so weak from lack of oxygen, they had to be rushed to the hospital. This is a dangerous, dangerous mission. But the story of the rescue swells my heart, because in it I believe that we see who we are supposed to be as human beings. More than 10,000 people participated in the rescue, including volunteers from 23 countries who came to the aid of the Thai rescue workers with all sorts of technical advice. Welshmen from the British Cave Rescue Council, drainage specialists from Japan, dewatering experts from India. Massive pumps were donated from the Czech Republic, underwater robots from China, professional rescue divers from Laos, Australia, Denmark, Finland, and a dozen other countries. Over 200 divers risked their lives for these children. Children they did not know and would probably never see again. The American technical team was 30 people strong, and we developed the flexible cocoons that were ultimately used to transport, to carry the boys the 4 kilometers to the surface through these flooded tunnels. There was real concern about how to get them up because most of the boys didn't know how to swim, let alone dive. So they had to be given these powerful anti-anxiety medications so they would lie still in the cocoons as they were passed from unknown hand to unknown hand for the 3 hours that it took to bring them to the surface. Multiple close calls nearly brought tragedy as pumps failed and water rushed in anew. It was a success, but not only because every boy on the Wild Boars soccer team and their coach were rescued, but because we did this together as a global community. At a time when nations seemed to be accusing each other of betrayal and bad behavior, ours being one of the worst accusers, we see what is possible, and seeing what is possible forces us to ask, why are we not seeing more of it? I read an article this week interviewing the boys, and many of them now want to become divers, which is fascinating. And it caused me to wonder, do they really want to be divers because they're drawn to the profession? You know, are they really so excited about exploring pitch-black caves with life-threatening currents? Or is it because they had an encounter? An encounter with the meaning of rescue. That a rescue that makes them want to give back. The boys witnessed something that so few of us will ever truly understand. They were lost in the darkness of an underground cave. The monsoons were coming. This was just a freak rain. The monsoons were coming and were going to really flood those caves. They were dead. And then they were saved. People they did not know, will never know, risked their lives. One person even died so that these boys might live. We saw the best of humanity. Now, this beautiful encounter with the lost boys and the world stands in stark contrast to the experience of the children lost in the caves of the detention centers dotting our southern border. The timing couldn't have been more serendipitous, feels like the wrong word, but poignant, maybe. As the world watched in awe as the rescue mission in Thailand unfolded, we simultaneously watched in horror as the stories leaked out about what was happening behind the blacked out windows of abandoned Walmarts that had been turned into detention centers for children, toddlers even, who had been separated from their parents after they crossed our border. And they were now being held in cages, chain link pens, like animals. This is not a crisis that was caused by unpredictable weather. It was a crisis created by human beings. Despite what Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen says, these people were not entering illegally, as if that could be a justification for separating parents from their children for months. These were asylum seekers, people who had fled their nation due to violence, some of which we may be responsible for, and came to our border seeking safety. But instead, they were re-traumatized by having their children stripped away from them, stripped out of their arms, for the sole purpose of inflicting pain. Attorney General Jeff Sessions declared a zero-tolerance policy for people crossing the border. The acknowledged, the stated intention of this policy is to be so cruel that people will choose to live in violence than face the repercussions of our state machinery. We will separate your children from you. We will cage them. We will not tell you where they are. We will not keep accurate records, meaning you may not find them again. If you do, we may impose a DNA test that will cost between $700 to $800 just to verify your relationship. If a relative tries to claim the children, we will require plane tickets, not only for the child, but for an escort. These are costs that not many immigrants can afford. These are not costs that some of you could easily afford. But what would you pay to get your child back? After a lot of pressure, the government slowly, and court orders, pressure and court orders, the government slowly began the process of reuniting children with their parents. But the reluctance and, frankly, the lack of shame over this policy is unnerving at best. We now know that children had to rely on other children to change their diapers. The children were sleeping on concrete floors with nothing more than one of those Mylar space blankets. But mostly, we're still in the dark about what went on, what is going on, continues to go on. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon attempted to visit one of the detention centers and was turned away at the door because he had given Homeland only a week's notice, not the 2 weeks' notice that their guidelines insist. He did contact them. but didn't give them 2 weeks. Now, this senator, this is the same senator that sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs, which deals with sensitive information like funding arms sales and training allies, including the sales of arms to Latin American countries where the violence these people are fleeing originates. He's allowed to know how we fund paramilitaries, but he's not allowed to know what goes on behind the blacked-out windows of these cathedrals to failed capitalism because he didn't give enough notice. Now, we all know that had he given 2 weeks' notice, he still wouldn't have been allowed in. They don't want a senator like Merkley knowing what goes on in there so that he could tell the people what cruelty as a tactic actually looks like. Homeland has not kept accurate records, or at least that's what they say, but by their own estimates, they have separated as many as 2,000 children from their parents. Unlike the boys on the wild boar soccer team, however, these children really have no idea if anyone's coming to get them because they're not allowed to communicate. This is the intention of this policy. Those who have been reunited have faced severe issues. Mirce Alba Lopez was elated to get her 3-year-old son, Ederson, back into her arms. But after 4 months of detention, 3-year-old, he didn't recognize her. Milka Pablo was heartbroken when she picked up her 3-year-old daughter, Darley, after a 3-month separation, only to have her scream and cry out for the social worker at the detention center. Attorney General Sessions is not wrong. This policy will break people. It will break children. But is that who we are? The breakers of people. The breakers of children. The Thai children trapped for 18 days in a cave learned the beauty that humans are capable of, including the beauty that Americans are capable of. We helped save those boys. The Latin American children trapped behind chain link for months have learned how horrible we can be. The Thai boys want to grow up and be rescuers, inspired by the generosity of others. I can only pray that the Latin American children also want to grow up to be rescuers, if only for different reasons. Now, I don't want to overcomplicate the story by confusing metaphors, but I don't think that these children, the ones that we have imprisoned, are trapped in a cave. I think we are. And I think we need to be rescued from ourselves. This is not the first time that Americans have separated children from their families. Now, Laura Bush, the former first lady, wife of a president I thought was as terrible and as shameful a president as one could know, you know, with the wars and the debt and the underwater cities and the rampant crony capitalism. But no, there are people with even less shame who can be president. Laura Bush has condemned the practice, saying that it reminds her of when we interned citizens of Japanese descent during World War II and stole their property. She left that part out. We did steal their property also. But it's not exactly accurate, right? Those families were allowed to stay together. We sent them to internment camps, but the parents were allowed to keep their children with them. But we did separate children during slavery. And we did separate children on those long marches referred to as the Trail of Tears, where natives were forced to walk from Florida to Oklahoma, dying, so many of them dying on the way, as was policy. We stole those children. This is the tradition that this behavior comes out of. It doesn't appear out of thin air. Everything originates on a previous idea or action or spiritual belief. Separating children from their parents lies deeply within the American psyche. And we use this behavior when we are trying to break people. But who does that? Who creates policies that are designed to be so painful, so destructive, so filled with venom? What is wrong? What is wrong with these people? Seriously, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with us as a culture? Because surely, we own some of it. Why are we allowing this to be done in our name? In Plato's Republic, Socrates tells a story of a people chained in a cave. They face a wall and they see only shadows cast by the light of a fire that's behind them. They believe that the shadows are reality. This illusion. But that's not the end of the story. That's the most popular part, but it's not the end of the story. Socrates then supposes what it would be like to actually try to free these chained people. He says at first, they would not want to go. You know, this is what they know. They might even fight against a new reality. They might even have to be dragged to the mouth of the cave. But once outside, they would experience the sun, and they would see that the images cast by the light of the fire were not real. And then, he supposes, that they would think only of freeing others. We must liberate these children. But they are not the only ones chained. The men and women who have chosen cruelty over generosity, who have chosen abuse over kindness, believe in a reality that is not true. Now, if this only affected their lives, one might argue that there's little consequence. But it doesn't just affect their lives. They are trying to break people, and they are doing it in our name. I was really pleased. I was so pleased when Senator Merkley went down to investigate. But there was this part of me that wondered, why only him? Why are there not 20 senators down there? He got called reckless for spreading lies about the situation. But how is it not reckless to separate a 3-year-old from their parents? That's reckless. But I guess it's just good policy, so it seems. What are we going to do about the cruelty that lives at the heart of our culture? We can't ignore this. We are not bad people, but sometimes we do bad things. We are capable of so much more, and yet we continuously spoil our potential. I really love America. I really do. I believe there is something in us that is beautiful. And I want that to shine. Who are the people that are going to go down into the cave and drag these prisoners into the sun? Not the kids in the cages, right? We don't have to go all the way to Texas to bring ICE out into the sun. Who's going to drag Paul LePage into the sun? Right? He lives with a reality that's not true. And I don't want to do it just for some political dominance like my party or whatever. I'm not some silverback gorilla that wants to just dominate, right? I want freedom for our people, all of our people. I want freedom for our culture. I want freedom for my nation. I love it. I would be remiss if I came to preach a sermon and I did not mention God. And I know this is a touchy subject for many, because so many of those people bow down before an altar of cruelty and they call that God. They conflate that with God. And so many of us do not want to have anything to do with that altar of cruelty, and so we reject that God idol. You know, I get it. But cruelty is not God. I don't know if anything can truly be said about what God is, but I know that cruelty is not it. I do believe that something binds us. Something binds us, and we live, we survive, we rest in a grace that is provided by the sun, by the planet, by the other people. We live only because of others. Only because of something larger than us that is moving through us. Words cannot describe what this is, but when we truly understand that we come from something larger, something that provides us life, we become like those boys who want to be divers, and if not divers exactly, then rescuers. The chains and the shadows drop away when we truly see how dependent we are on everyone else. And it fills us with gratitude. Cruelty is the vision of those living in chains who refuse to recognize their dependence. I typically do not quote the Bible, but I will today. There is a passage from Matthew that I have always loved. It is by far my favorite understanding of God in the Bible. And it feels appropriate. Some of you know it well. It's Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." We are one family. We are one source. Go find yourselves in God. Go find yourselves in gratitude. And let us go together to free the prisoners from this cave of cruelty. Members of our family are waiting for us to come and rescue them, both the ones that are held in the detention centers and those who are holding them there. There was a time when this country rode buses and waded through dangerous currents in order to save the children. That time has come anew. Cruelty cannot be the swan song of this nation. This world needs rescuers inspired by gratitude, inspired by generosity, inspired by the reality that we are entirely dependent on one another. Let us be those rescuers. Let your faith guide your actions so we might heal our country, our culture, and our people, all of our people.